Dude, I was looking in my fridge for beer to review, especially after last episode, and I have a bunch of beer that I've already drank that I'm just like not a fan of. So I feel like I reviewed something, it would just be like a 3 out of 10 for all of them.
So did you bring one though?
I mean, you know what? Whatever. I'll bring one and I won't drink the whole thing because I don't really like them. But I'm actually curious. I feel like we've talked about this one in particular, but I can't remember your stance on it. I'll go.
Yeah. Bring it in here. And while you're doing that, I will give a shout out to our sponsors that make this podcast possible. You already know who they are. Manscaped, manscaped.com. Use code BEERMILE, all one word, for 20% off everything there. All of your male hygiene and grooming needs. Nothing better than a new Manscaped razor, the Manscaped boxers, the Manscaped cologne. Head on over to manscaped.com and use code BEERMILE, all one word. And knockaround.com. Use code BEERMILEPOD, all one word, for 20% off shades. And our friends over at Long Run Coffee, which Adam is sporting the Long Run Coffee All World collaboration tee right now, looking pretty fly.
It is kind of funny that you know how like in your dresser, sometimes clothes that just like, if you do laundry very consistently and you don't end up running out of clothes, you end up wearing like the same 5 t-shirts
totally
over and over and over again. And yep. I don't know, like this is definitely made it into the rotation of like at least one day a week when I'm like rolling into work. Like this is the shirt that I'm like, yeah, that works for today.
It's so damn comfortable. I mean, what can I say? So longruncoffee.com, use code BEERMILE, all one word, for 10% off. Oh, and Adam is making a disgusted face after taking a sip. I didn't even see, hold that beer up. I didn't even see what it was.
Have you had this one?
I have. You think it's that bad? Really?
Oh man. So for, I guess, our audio only folks, if we're doing a video version of this one, I'm drinking a 312 lemon shandy. Like, it's, for those of you who have not had it, it's like to me, it tastes like a very over the top Leinenkugel. And
over the top in what way? Like extra sugary, like even more sugary? Or
I don't actually know that it's super sugary. It's just less beery, you know, like Leinenkugel to me tastes like beer with like a little something to it.
And this is literally a juice.
This tastes like beer mixed with Arnold Palmer. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
I think that's a fair take. It's been a while since I've had one of those, but.
But it is super polarizing. Like some people really like, my wife really likes it. I don't know. I feel like you either love this beer or.
It's been a while, but my memory would be that I liked the taste, but maybe less drinkable than Leinenkugel's because it's like overly sweet. So yeah, you're like half a beer in and you're done with it.
I feel like if I was super, like if I had been outside for quite a while in the sun, it would taste better. That might make it like I could slam one more, but you know, I'm inside in air conditioning. That's probably keeping the house at 64 degrees. So it's not the best.
Yeah. Yep. Well, oh, man. What other beers do you have in the fridge that taste bad besides this one? What were the other options?
There's a honey beer that I can't remember if we've reviewed before. It's a little bit of the same. Like to me, it's just the taste is so different from what I would consider traditional beer. It tastes a lot like an American take on like a European beer, where like European beer is like very light. It's not over the top. I don't feel like I'm, you know, getting super fat while drinking it, but this is just like packs all of the punch of an American beer. So that one was kind of also a no, just like, I don't know, too much, not beer. I do have Budweiser, which honestly I might tap into later. We'll see.
Budweiser hits pretty well. That's for sure. I'm drinking, technically is still working hours on a Tuesday afternoon, depending on where you're located. But so I'm drinking on one of these Athletic Brewings that was hiding in the back of my fridge. It's the Wet Hop IPA. One of the limited edition pilot program ones. Pretty good. Not bad.
A smart person would have saved some athletics for the zoo, but when they only come once a month and I blow through them, you know.
How many do you get on your subscription? Are you like 2 6 packs, three?
I just get two.
Two.
But yeah. I just find that like, I'm also this way with sparkling water where I'm just like, whoops, had four of them, you know, in the span of a couple hours.
Yeah. So if you were to get, it almost prevents you from having too bad of a habit because you can only binge on it like one week of the month that way. And then done.
And I've thought about getting more, but I'm like, the reality is if I had just, you know, enough to drink for a day, I probably would.
Right. Right. that could add up pretty quick. Your Starbucks latte will start looking cheap if you're pounding six packs every day.
Can you put caffeine in beer? I feel like people have probably done that, right?
One of Athletics does have it. It was the super coffee collab one did not get reviewed very well because the flavor was off apparently, but I didn't try it.
That's coffee beer is tough. I feel like I've had one that I've liked ever. And outside of that, I've probably had another 10 to 20 that have just tasted like ass.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're also not a stout porter guy and coffee beers are usually stouts. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair. That's a fair point.
Well, all right. Now that we've talked about beer on the Beer Mile podcast, should we talk about the mile podcast? The other half of the Beer Mile podcast. Beer and the mile.
Let's do it.
What do we got for topics this week on the pod?
Well, I mean, I feel like the one that is at the top of my list is the NBA and track beef.
NBA and track beef. You should probably give the scoop for listeners who don't know what the hell you're talking about, including myself.
Yeah. So the preface is part of the press conference for World champs, Noah Lyles said something along the lines of, he's kind of poking fun, kind of like, I didn't even know what you'd call the attitude. But it might even be worth playing a clip just for your own reference, because I think it's maybe like 30 seconds long. But he's talking about the, you know, NBA, NFLs of the world that, you know, a team wins and they call themselves the world championships.
Oh, I did see this. Okay.
But they're not, you know, actually world championships. And I think like all of the social media discourse on this is like fucking hilarious. Like, so leave it to track and field to
stir the pot a little bit,
start some beef over like semantics, like well actually
I mean, I have always thought it was weird, like the World Series, like the World Series. I mean, so everyone who's clapping back is the argument that all the best players in the world come to these leagues. So it's essentially the world championship.
In the league, there's like, at least in the NBA, there's, I think it's 25 to 30% of the players are international.
Right. Okay.
The argument is like, yeah, of course. And I agree with both sides, because it's like, yeah, I mean, like there's a reason why the USA like doesn't send their best to like the basketball event in the Olympics. Like, it's because nobody gives a fuck about it. It's because the competition in the NBA is probably way higher than that of the Olympics, because you're actually getting paid a shitload of money to do it.
Right. But do you think, okay, so if you're saying that, I don't know, who won the NBA finals last year? I don't even remember.
You're asking, this is the wrong podcast.
Okay. But okay. say, you know, you've got, Golden State Warriors, whatever, and they win the NBA finals. Are they really better as a team than like the next best country's team? You know what I mean?
Honestly, maybe.
I mean, maybe, but maybe not. But maybe. Okay. Yeah, well, maybe they are. Like, are they better? What is another good like basketball country? Like a couple European ones? Like, I actually don't even know. Like Spain? I don't know.
I have no idea. I mean, we have a lot of like we have Serbia. I don't know. I feel like every European country has like, well, maybe not every, but like there's clusters of like at least one person, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe. Okay. So maybe basketball is different. How about baseball though? Is the best team in the MLB better than like Japan's team as a country?
Yeah. That's what I was going
like,
to say. Like,
I don't know.
And if you gave all of the Japanese players back, I think maybe, yeah. You know, like it would actually be an interesting game. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know a whole lot of sports. Like for sure, like American football. Like, yeah, they get to, I'm like, they get to call themselves world championships or world champions because like nobody else plays football. Like nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
It'd be different if like the MLS winners called themselves world champions because it's like, dude, the US fucking sucks at soccer.
Yeah, so that's probably one way
they don't. At least on the men's side. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if I were running the NFL or the NBA, I would absolutely say world champions too as someone trying to promote it. Cause like, why not? Yeah. I mean, you do have the world's best players.
I think the USA has won like the last six Olympics or something ridiculous like that in a row for basketball. I also think I thought this was the craziest shit. And honestly, this maybe is just like, I don't necessarily agree with like the, you know, technicality, like making a whole thing about it. But shout out to Noah Lyles because Drake responded to the beef on Instagram, which is like fucking hilarious. Granted, Drake said regarding Noah, he's like, he thought this speech was going to be so hard in the mirror the night before. Now the whole league doesn't rate you. And then he does like laughing faces. So, I mean, did Noah Lyles get shit on by Drake? Yes. But I can't remember the last time Drake talked about track and field. So.
I'd love if he shit talked me. That'd be great. I'd love it. I'd love if he hated me. I love if he even knew my name or read my name once. Yeah. No, that's good. Noah Lyles is definitely, especially with the documentary, he's going to be like, he is going to be popular enough to be like, I mean, he is a celebrity already kind of, but I think he'll even be, especially if he wins like gold, double gold next year in the Olympics, kind of like Usain Bolt was like, he's like a legit celebrity, not just in track, but he's a legit celebrity. I think that's what Noah Lyles is going to become or already has become. I don't know, but if track runners weren't so dedicated and making so many sacrifices, Noah could totally be going to some big banger ragers with Drake at some point.
Yeah, I feel like Noah Lyles needs to go hang out with the likes of like Israel Adesanya because he's like kind of the same. Like he's like the same, similar in the sense that like he likes anime. He's like a little quirky, you know.
Yeah,
but I feel like Izzy is like slightly cooler than Noah, and track and field would benefit from the clout.
I like it. Well, you're giving advice to the guy who's doing the most for the sport of track and field by having a documentary and winning three gold medals. And
he self-funded that documentary, right?
He was willing to self-fund it. And that's what he went like. If he would have had to self-fund it, he was going to go for it. But he said that he was able to pitch and get some investors in it. So I think it was like Omega, the timing company, there was a couple others as well. He talked about it a little bit in one of the interviews he did, but he was fully prepared to basically just put his own salary toward the team to do it because he was betting
on it. That's pretty gangster.
Yeah. And part two already got filmed or was filmed as part of the world championship. So that'll be good. I mean, hopefully it's not as boring as part one. Hot take. we watched it live together at like half of it and we were kind of just like the vibe just seemed weird, right? It wasn't as much of a pump up vibe as I would have liked. I don't know.
Which I think it's okay for it to not be like hype necessarily. I think my real issue is that I couldn't tell where it wanted to go. Like, is it overly serious? Is it like, you know, is it hype? Like, where are we going with this? I think it was like that. It's probably because it was just like, you know, the ups and downs of whatever. And it's hard to like make that appear a certain, like only a certain way without including like other quote unquote vibes. But I don't know. Like it didn't
like some of the music, I was just kind of like, it didn't really, I didn't know what I was supposed to be feeling, you know, like watching Noah do like a sick workout or whatever. And just the music was not like, I don't know. It wasn't a pump up vibe. It wasn't a, if he was going for overly serious, to show like how hard it is to be a track athlete and how hard the training is. Like, I kind of get that, but I still didn't even feel like it felt like that vibe. I mean, overall, yeah, it was really good. It was just, I don't know. It wasn't, I guess it wasn't exactly what I was expecting in terms of the, just the overall energy of it was a little different than what I thought going in. But
it's like when you're on a road trip with your buddies and one of them is on aux, and it, for the, like the first little bit, they're playing like the A-list songs that everybody knows. They're like, all right, these are going to hit. And then when they start to like venture off and it's like, here's the music that I find interesting. Yeah, there's maybe like, 30 seconds here and there. We're like, all right, that's hype. That's hype. And then you're like, what is this shit? Like, what are we doing here?
And you're also just popping back and forth between like indie song and then a rap song and then a classical song. And you're like, wait, which, what are we doing here? I don't really know what we're doing.
And your homie's just like, oh, this is just my life songs. And you're like, can you please curate a vibe for us? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, overall good for the sport, as they say.
I guess next on the, like, I kind of ranked the list in terms of controversy. You got Jakob. My next one is Jakob, sick or nah?
Sick or nah? My gut almost tells me yes, because I thought that he kind of looked bad. Like, he looked like he was struggling, and it's crazy that he, 329 is sick and struggling versus 327 is good. But like, if anyone could tell the difference in, a little virus like playing a role, it'd be someone who's as in tune with his body as Jakob. Like, in that case, when you're basically, your job is to just be like a perfectly tuned machine, like, and you can tell that something's slightly off, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. Like, he did not have the closing burst of speed that he had in every other thing. But you could also argue that he burned it all in the semi when he ran that really fast last lap to like blow by everyone. Maybe that just like burned out a little too much of his top end gear for him and he didn't recover from it. I don't know.
I think it's like the classic arc of professional runners' Instagram.
Yeah,
with a big event like this is, leading up to it, like inspiring confidence. And, I thank you so much to everybody who supported me and like all that we've built. I'm ready to take on big things.
Yeah.
And then when you don't get the successful result, you immediately. And so, I actually had a stress fracture in my blah, blah, blah. And
yeah,
blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
Blah. Like,
oh, my God. I know. That is one of the many things that kind of annoys me about running, or very much annoys me about running, is people feel the need to post a like recap of every single race and explain themselves and never just like accept, I just didn't have it today, or I was just off or whatever. Like, oh, well, I'm actually kind of happy with getting DFL because, I overcame this and that and the other thing. And like, whatever, my cat died this week and I had to get a layover and a delay in my flight. Like, you just like start adding up all these things. And when you have a list of like 10 excuses, it's just like, come on. I don't know. It's a lot.
To me, I don't know. Like, it's, I think it is much better to just be like, man, like I didn't have it, like shout out to blah blah blah, had a great night. It's with any sport where like the somebody who didn't win, i.e. the loser, is like just has a laundry list of things that are like very valid. Like, obviously having COVID is valid, assuming Jakob had it, but it's like, dude, everybody's got shit.
That's what I was gonna say. When people are like, oh, well, I missed some workouts because of my Achilles and I did this and that, and it's like, that's the whole point, is like, in order to be the best in the world, like all of those things have to be perfect and figured out. And so you're just admitting that you didn't have everything like perfected going in, and that's part of it. Like, that's part of the game, is to get that figured out. So I know people are always like, I could have run, like I think I could have run this fast if everything went perfect. It's like, yeah, but nothing is, maybe once in your career will you have everything go perfect in a race. Yeah. So like,
yeah,
that's just part of it. Like, you can't expect a tailwind downhill course and whatever else every single race out. Like, that's not how it works.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Why was there was there someone in particular we were talking about who was making those excuses? Oh, Jakob, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I think
a couple posts that were like over the top.
There's always. Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, it's not that like I don't care about people's journeys.
It's kind of nice to hear the insight as to why. Yeah.
But like, just post the shit when it happens, brother. Like, what? I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't like wait to like collect all of your bad news in a bin and then dump it in your next Instagram post after like the championships. Like,
and only because it went poorly. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. People actually would probably be more supportive and like attracted to engaging in track and field if you didn't like hoard all of your baggage until, you know, a poor event or even a good event. Like, people want to know what you're dealing with.
Yeah, that's true. I guess there's both sides, because you could also say, well, as a competitor, like, you don't want to show any weakness going in. You know, it's just like in UFC, they're face to face, like, probably scared shitless of fighting the other person, but they're going to not show any sign of weakness when they're head to head. So you could
UFC is so much more like mano y mano, and like there's a lot of shit talking involved. And I feel like so many runners are against stirring up drama for the sake of drama, where it's like, well, like, if you want to be genuine, just like, all right, you know, like, post about your shit. Cause it's not like, what, like, people are going to take you for, people mistake that for weakness in a race and like, oh yeah, count me out. And then I'll blow your doors off. Cause like, I am in still, you know, pretty good shape.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's the flip side of it. That could be a good thing. You talk all this shit but explain all the things that are not going well in training ahead of time. So then when you do dick on people, it just looks even better.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I've never really gotten why pros like will have their Strava hidden or like go private on certain things. Like, not really a secret. Like, everybody's doing the same thing.
Yeah. 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 I do like that Strava has had a lot more pros post their shit on there. Like,
yeah,
it adds a lot.
I think it's pretty funny to see like a pro's bad workout and they're like, oh yeah, like, I don't know, could have been better. And it's like, I probably couldn't run like a third of the volume at that pace.
A lot of pros that are like higher mileage, higher volume, this isn't true for them, but there are some that when I look at their workouts and stuff, I'm like, damn, they are not working any harder than I am necessarily. They're just way more talented. And it just kind of pisses me off. Like when you have someone who's running, you know, 70 miles a week, and sure, they're doing other stuff too. They're doing all the gym stuff and all the whatever, but they're like doing that and they're running, you know, 13 low for 5K. And I'm just like, yeah, you're more talented than me. Like, you piece of shit.
Rory, is it Linkletter?
Yeah. Yep.
He had a really good take on the Sidious pod around like talent and how it's not just like people with, I think in this case, like, the differentiating factor is just like genetics. Mm-hmm. But he did have a good quote in his interview just around like, oh, well, talent could be many things. It could be like genetics, but it could also be like your, you know, your work drive, et cetera, like, yeah, outside of just physical factors.
That's true. That's definitely true. Your ability to stay motivated and grind no matter what, just not give up. Yeah, totally. Totally.
But for the people who are like, have like equal levels of drive, it's like, oh man, it really is just kind of luck of the draw.
Yeah. Yeah. On
Jakob, before we got off of him, did you see all the Josh Kerr takes and whatnot?
Josh Kerr put out, him and David put out like a sit and kick podcast. So I listened to that, but what takes are you talking about? I'm not sure.
Just all the memes that they posted, and there's a lot of like, let's run back and forth over Josh fanboys and Jakob fanboys. I thought it was all pretty funny.
Oh, it is all good. I love the rivalry and beef in general.
I feel like Josh probably could have gone over the top in like his celebration and like actually like talked shit, just because I feel like Jakob isn't really like engage or like maybe even think that other 1500 meter runners are like a part of the competition. Like the way he always speaks, particularly when he loses, you'll notice he never name drops.
Yeah, he always keeps everyone's name out of it. Like even when talking shit or when he loses, I think both ways, he never will mention another runner's name.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. But it'd be more exciting if he did.
Yeah, I think Josh should have gone over the top and been like, you know, Jakob's a fucking pussy. He didn't have COVID, blah, blah, blah. So that Jakob probably would have, well, maybe he wouldn't have addressed Josh by name, but you know.
That would have been good. It's funny that this was like the least cocky year of Josh Kerr ever. And he won. But even after the race, I was surprised he seemed even less cocky than he seemed in years past, which was almost disappointing. I kind of like his cockiness. Like, I think it makes it more entertaining.
Josh Kerr's been pretty darn competitive over the last couple of years. So it's almost like the opposite, where you start out cocky and like turn into somebody who's very humble, but he's also only like 25 now. So I don't know, maybe
is over that the last, young? Is, really?
Yeah, he's really young. So maybe over his like early 20s, he was cocky and has since. I know.
God, he just seems kinda older than that, because he's kind of been.
Beard kind of throws you off.
He's been consistent and on the scene for a while. I mean, he's made the last like four championships in a row. So I was just like, oh, he's a veteran, you know? But goddamn. Yeah, that's crazy. Jakob's 22. Crazy. Crazy. Oh, the other take on Josh was, I don't know if you saw people, because he definitely leaned out a lot. You know, he was a lean, mean machine going in. People thought he was taking like Ozempic or something.
That's an amazing take. Ozempic. Now, speaking of Ozempic, I do have a topic related. Is that on the WADA ban list?
Probably.
I actually wonder if
it
is. I don't
even know. It's got to be, right? Because what exactly?
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Oh, shut the fuck up, Siri. Go fuck yourself. Can you turn that off?
I heard that. What's your tangent That's off triggering. Of that you...
So I think that we should, we as in the Beer Mile, you know, we got a lot of feedback that we've taken into account, particularly around our drug testing policies.
Mm-hmm.
We are
officially outlawing marijuana because be allowed. I'm just kidding.
Officially
or adopting the world track and field rules. Okay. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
August 29th, 2023. Today we are officially adopting a new anti-doping rule. It's actually going to be for the same substance that got Alio busted, which is a topical acne cream. So that's going to be a part of our rules now. You cannot use any of that creams. We're not even going to offer therapeutic use exemption. So
no, because that's still cheating.
We'll be checking next year.
Yep.
How fucking stupid is that?
That's crazy. I mean, there are some people on Let's Run who like legit think that she, or at least they claim, they think that she was like, don't trust her. She was actually doing something dirty. It's like, what incentive would she have? And if you're going to cheat, you don't take an acne cream. I mean, I know it's a diuretic, but like, come on. Like, yeah, it's just ridiculous.
There's so many.
Like that's a 4-month ban for an acne cream or, you have a little cannabis, you know, you're banned for that. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. Just ridiculous, these rules.
Hey, Shikari had her return to form.
She did. Speaking of someone who was like way more tame than, you know, past, just in terms of, you know, being vocal and like cocky, confident, whatever. Like she was, like even after winning in her post-race interviews, like she was like so just even keel. I was like, wait, where's the confident, you know, I don't know.
I feel like she's still confident and like relatively confident, a shit talker. I feel like right now, like she's been able to focus that from like just, you know, like focusing on herself to like for example, with trying to get a track and field union, like I feel like that is still like baseline Shikari energy of like, you know, I'm going to do what I want, blah, blah, blah. But it's in somewhat like more of like a positive or focused thing rather than just like talking shit to talk shit or complaining.
Totally. What's ironic a bit now is because she won the gold and like, you know, her stock just went way up. So for her, a union means like nothing. In fact, a union could actually be bad. Like unions are usually meant to like even people out and bring up the bottom, not in, you know, they're not, if you're like way up above everyone, now she's in like the 1% of like, okay, I can get the bank. So like in her case, she probably doesn't want a union anymore. She can rake in her millions a year now. Yeah. She's like, hey, someone else is going to have to take that one because like I'm making my millions. Nike's putting me up wherever I need to go. Like, I'm treated pretty good now. So screw you guys. That's interesting. We'll see. I have zero faith that that's going to go anywhere. This whole athlete union thing.
I mean, it's so tough because like in all honesty, the pie is too small. It's not like a, you know, a percentage problem. It's like a net problem where it's, yo, like the pie is literally too small and having, I don't think I'm like anti-union. I just think, I don't know. It's change needs to happen both on like governing bodies, but also like you just need like smarter people involved in the sport, like with sponsorships as well. Like it's, the sport is not going to grow if you can't make it into a product that can be sold. And right now, like, I mean, bro, I had to fucking stream a world championship on my computer because it was on Peacock.
Like wasn't a part of it on NBC maybe?
I think part of it was, but
not like the whole thing. Hey, you know what? I think we just need Siegel to negotiate one more unicorn deal like Nike and things will be different. Now he's got to come out of the woodwork. You know, he did that Nike deal. He's got to do something crazy. He's got to just come back out and get like a 5X on the next Nike deal. You know, he's got to demand bigger numbers.
I feel like track and field needs like a fire festival almost, like something with like so much interest from the outside of, you know, the select few people who give a shit about track. I don't know. We need something
like Running Man.
Like Running Man.
Basically like Firefest. No,
hopefully this one will pan out. Do you know he's already sold like God knows how many tickets for Firefest 2?
I'm not surprised. I mean, no, I would be tempted I'd be tempted to go. Like it'd be sweet. Why not? And like, cause there's no way you could screw it up a second time. Like you would know everything. And you actually hire someone who is like an event producer to take it over. And you don't actually do it.
Could you imagine if, I didn't actually read the email that we got today, but I saw that it was like related to the permits for Worlds, you know, that happens.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
However many weeks ago at this
good old
point,
city like, of Chicago.
Good shit.
Here's another world's hot take, I guess. Like, well, is it a hot take? It's kind of, whatever. Basically, I found myself kind of rooting against a thing, Mo, in the 800. Is that, is that bad?
Explain.
I mean, I just... And maybe this is more her coach to blame, but the whole, like, I might not run at Worlds, whatever. I mean, I guess I don't know the behind the scenes situation on that, but assuming it was something along the lines of, you know, a thing just like didn't want to run for whatever reason. I just feel like it's a bit of a shame that someone with that level of talent, like, and I know that she's been training like all her life or whatever, but someone with that level of talent doesn't necessarily like want to maximize it or love it enough to be out there versus all the people who are like literally live and die by running and track and field. And like, they're just trying to make it and they just don't have that level of talent. And like, those are the people that I'd rather see like almost like deserve to win, because I just feel like she has been gifted this amazing talent that not everyone's gifted. And so I just feel, and like, that's totally fine. If she like, if running isn't her thing and she wants to do other stuff, like that's totally her. She can do whatever. Like if that's what makes her happy, that's what makes her happy. I don't care about that. It's more, I would just love to see, it'd be nice to see the people who are like all in on it and like do or die. And like, I wish those people were I want those people to be the ones that win, I guess is my point.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of reminded me of like, I feel like everybody knows somebody who they ran with in high school. And this particular person was like wildly talented, and they like, you know, they did the sport and blah, 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 but like, they never quite like capitalized it. Maybe they didn't like go off and run in college. And it was like, oh man, like, you know, this person was a 409 miler, but just like stopped giving a shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Like didn't train in the off season, did the bare minimum, skipped abs, did like whatever, you know what I mean? And then, yeah. And then ran his 409 and then, okay, moved on. And now just never run a step again. It's like, oh, what a shame. Like if only that talent could have been with someone who really wanted to put in the work for it. But yeah, I guess that's like anything in life. I don't know. Everyone has different talents, and you like part of it's finding what your talent is.
True.
And it doesn't really align with what your passion is all the time.
That's how I feel when I'm at the casino and like, you know, I get dealt a 15 and the person next to me gets dealt a blackjack against a dealer 20. Like, I'm like, why me? You know, like I could have gotten a blackjack. I don't necessarily I'm not rooting against the people next to me, but I'm like, damn, you're really gonna waste a blackjack on them?
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I mean, I would rather everyone else at the table loses than I win, just because, you know, odds are that not everyone's gonna win, so I'd rather that everyone else is the one to get the losing hands, because then my odds are going up, right? I think that's how it works. That was my other hot take on Worlds. I don't know if I have any others.
The only one I had was like, dude, what's up with the Dutch people slipping?
I don't know. Did they have like their spikes were a little too long of spikes, so they dug in and they tripped a little bit? I don't know.
I think both Sifan and Femke were like, I don't know, they just like their legs fucked up the last three meters of the race, because in both of their interviews they're like, yeah, I don't know, I just kind of like moved my, like I just like got out from under my legs and yeah, then I fell. I was like, fuck man, like I don't know, like how do you not do that?
I mean, have you ever run a 400 as fast as either of them were? Maybe you have, but I haven't. As 400 as fast as either of them were running, either Hassan in the closing lap or Femke in the open four, or the 4x4, I mean, my point is they were going faster than I've ever gone. So I can't, yeah. I'd fall on my face too if I was going that
fast.
I just
think it's more interesting that like, usually I feel like running to exertion, there's something that fails before then. But like, I think that's, I don't know, that's just fucking wild. It's dope that they both had a comeback story after it.
Yeah. Just like Kim K.
Yes. Like Kim Kardashian, my favorite comeback story.
Oh, that you first made that joke on one of the first couple podcasts.
That's
an old joke. Well, you brought that
complete,
joke.
Which is completely stolen from Chris Pratt in Parks and Rec. But
Yeah.
Oh man, the one other thing I had, which is completely out of left field.
Okay.
And since you're a parent, I think you qualify.
Okay.
On my notepad it says, is it okay to hit kids? And specifically, Jordan was running, I think it was last week. And I've actually had this happen on a number of occasions myself. She was running on the lakeshore path, very crowded day. I think it might have actually been during the air and water show.
Okay.
And kid running basically perpendicular to her that she doesn't see comes flying out. They hit each other and they're both like knocked to the ground. And Jordan felt like pretty bad, but also frustrated. And I was like, oh, like I wouldn't feel bad at all.
So wait, so Jordan hit a kid, but really the kid decked hit her. Okay. Yeah. But really,
I mean, they were both down. So technically, you know.
So why would she feel bad?
Equal
about
rights,
that?
Equal less. Because it's a kid.
But yeah. I mean, it's just like one of those things though. It's
you gotta learn your lesson. Have you ever decked
a kid?
Like if you're doing a workout or anything like that.
I can't think of an example of a bad one. No, not like leveled a kid for sure. But I mean, I did almost hit a kid with my car the other day. I guess, does that count?
Only if it's not your own.
No. There were these two girls, like probably, I don't know, 8 years old or something, biking, and they were like flying down their cul-de-sac racing. Oh, fuck. And they just went right out. And so they were same situation. Like I'm going down a street. They're coming perpendicular to the way that I'm traveling, but they're coming out of a cul-de-sac onto like a busy road. And they just like don't even look. And they just like I don't even know what their plan was, like shoot across the street. And both me and actually another car was closer to hitting her, like slammed on our brakes. Cause we're going, me and this other car going opposite directions. And they're about to basically like slice in between the two cars. Oh, so we could have even had a ping pong. Yeah. Oh, we could have even like a little car to car action.
Man, these are the dangers of the suburbs. You talk about gun violence in the city, but
oh, it's kids not being watched by parents. That's the real violence in life. So we slammed on the brakes and missed them, but it was crazy. Cause the girl just like the one girl actually looked kind of scared. The other one literally just like turned and just kept riding and was still laughing and got away. Yeah. Like she was like winning the race against the other girl. Like didn't even notice that there were two cars that almost just,
I assume she was younger than the other one.
No, they were both. I mean, they were both probably 7 or 8 would be my guess.
Oh, she just had that dog in her.
She was definitely the daredevil. She, the friend that was more scared had a helmet on. This girl didn't even have a helmet on. She just was like, she just sent it.
Plastic. So yeah, I feel like I don't know if you're a kid, maybe more less so in that situation, but like getting decked by running or biking or anything like that, I feel like you do that once and then you're like, I'm probably gonna look both ways before I do this.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those lessons. It's like my daughter, you gotta, yes, you don't want her to fall and hurt herself, but also she's gonna bang her head on a few, you know, coffee tables and whatnot. Like that's part of the game, and that's how she learns. Now she knows not to, you know, stand up too quickly and smash her head. Like
headbutt a doorknob. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to learn somehow. I mean, you know, you don't learn by never making a mistake. You learn by making mistakes in general. I mean, that's how we learn all of our things. We make a lot of mistakes and we learn from them.
hopefully
the mistakes aren't so big that you go to jail. That's the main goal, or die.
Basically.
Yeah. Yep. All right. The other topic I wanted to bring up was Running Man Festival. So what do you think of the Running Man Festival? And if anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, go to, if you just Google Running Man Festival, I think it pops up, but it's, alldayrunningco.com. And then they have Running Man, and it's a 3-day running festival in October in Georgia, outside of Atlanta. And it's kind of like a adult camp, I guess is the best way to describe it. They got some famous people coming to partake, to speak. You got like Mike Posner and Jesse Itzler is kind of the one running it. Rich Roll, Courtney DeWalter, like a bunch of these. There's like even like some like UFC guys, wasn't it? Or I don't even know. Non-runner types, or like more gym bro types. I didn't know who they were, but they had a lot of followers. So it's like a 3-day thing. You listen to talks, speeches. There's like saunas and cold plunges. There's runs, obviously. I don't know. What's your take on Running Man? Apparently, is this the second annual? I think.
I was just going to ask how long it's been around, because I don't think for very long. I don't know.
I don't think so.
If I weren't taking so much PTO, I'd love to go every single day. Because I have my honeymoon. I'm getting back from my honeymoon, I think 2 weeks before, maybe a little less than 2 weeks before. But I don't know. I think the sport needs more of this random shit. Obviously, it's like, we know from the beer mile, but like it is so much fucking work to put all this on. So,
oh yeah,
we're very fortunate for somebody who's well off enough to fund the bill it for this.
So basically what's happening is we are going to do a beer mile at this thing. So beer mile is going to Running Man. Maybe Adam, maybe not. We'll see. Hopefully I can convince you, but at a minimum, Corey Belmore and myself, we will be attending this thing. And I think the current thinking is we'll do potentially even Ken Rideout, because he's like a 440 ish miler. So just do Ken Rideout sans beer racing the mile against us doing the beer mile and see who can win. That'd be pretty sweet.
I think that's fantastic, just because it's like it'd be very hard to do that with other well-known running figures, because you don't really have a large selection of those people who aren't running, you know, like a sub 4 minute mile. Right. So to have somebody who's like as big as Ken, and also just like, we know him, he's a stand up guy. So yeah, I don't know. Like, his time is right in the mix to where like, it'd be very competitive for you. And I don't know. I like that shit. Hopefully we can get like a couple more people who are in that zone.
Yeah, exactly. Because and that's the other, they want to do a celeb beer mile as well, and that's, I guess, the trade-off is, does, well, maybe if it's two separate races, maybe if our race is separate from the celeb race, then, because I want to see what Ken can do, because when we had him on the pod, we talked about, like, he was confident he could get at least in like the mid fives or upper fives for a beer mile. So I want to see that too, though, selfishly. I want to know what he can do. So that would be sweet to maybe he can do both heats. If he runs just a mile against us and then he comes back, he's got the endurance to do it. Then he could come back in the celeb heat and then do the beer mile afterwards.
Oh my God. You know what we should do is we should have both Ken and Shelby compete, because Shelby's probably running like a low 420 ish. So that'd be good for Corey.
Oh, I mean, I think she would dust Corey.
I think she'd win, but like, it for Corey, I think it'd be interesting to see him race with somebody in front of him.
Right.
Outside of the first lap or first however many meters. Cause then you could have the mano y mano. You could have Ken, and her face off in, like, if they do the actual beer mile afterwards. So they're both just as tired, they both ran a mile, now they're doing a straight up beer mile, because I bet their times are relatively close.
That'd be fun to watch. I will see where they land on kind of how they organize it, or who's willing to do it, because they brought up even just, you know, what pro runners could be incentivized to come and just try it, you know, like someone that's faster than Corey and I. Get them
now that we're finally in the fall, like there's much less competition for them.
Totally. Yeah. So if you want to join us at this Running Man Festival in Georgia, and you can swing 3 days off of work to just come hang out and have fun, because I'm looking forward to that. I'm actually glad it's not on a weekend, because I'm like, yeah, I'd rather miss work than miss a weekend.
You get the weekend to recover.
That's right. We actually have a code. So if you want to go to this thing, Beer Mile 100, all one word, is $100 off your ticket. So
bam.
Yeah, pretty good discount. Beer Mile 100. All one word, $100 off your ticket. You can just Google runningmanfestival.com. I guess we'll put it in the description too, probably, but yeah, come hang out. Corey Belmore, myself will be there. We'll see if we get a few others out as well, a couple of the ladies, and gonna be fun. I don't even know what to expect. Is it gonna be, do you think,
because it's like runners, pictures from it, right?
I saw pictures from last year, yeah,
and I mean, based on the pictures, it looks like a fucking banger.
Well, that's what my question was gonna be. It's, you know, people who are arguably serious about running to some extent, but is it more so these are the type of people that they're going to come and just like party the whole time, or are they going to be like actually serious and saunaing and cold tubbing and like being very serious about the running piece of it? I think it'll be
a good mixture. I feel like runners are, the problem with runners or people who are like into competitive sports in general is that, like, even if I'm just, you know, chilling, I did my run or whatever, like I did one of the races they have, I'm in, you know, a hot tub or whatever, cold immersion, and I crack a beer, and then like, I feel like if somebody else is like, oh yeah, like, do you want to like race or something like that? I'm like, oh sure, like I'll do one. And then like, there's just so much fucking competitive nature at like just concentrated in this festival where it's like, man, I've raced like 12 people in chugs and now I'm hammered. Like, whoops.
Yeah. That's probably what's going to happen.
I mean, that's like pretty much any time we hang out with runners, like that's kind of what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I fully expect my keg tab, my bar tab at this one to be pretty big. I don't think they're giving me an all you can drink package as part of this deal, unfortunately. So
no, you drink them out of house and home. I think to your point earlier about having this in the middle of the week, though, and like having running during it, like you get to sweat out all the toxins and get back into drinking.
I just like, I'm so curious, the world's largest sauna party with DJs. Like that's one of the taglines. So you're just going to be like sweating it up with hundreds of bros with like Tiesto. Like what?
Kind of sounds lit.
I think it sounds amazing, but it's interesting. It's just interesting.
I think my goal is to, if I can get a new job before I leave for my honeymoon, then my honeymoon doesn't count. Right. And then I will have no fear about drunk and running every day.
Are you saying because you'll be in between jobs, or are you saying because
that you're going to put in your 2 weeks anyway? Off. Yeah. Cause I won't have just taken off a chunk of like 14 days. And then I'm going to ask for like another 4.
Gotcha. So if you put like your end date right before Running Man or something, or like,
yeah,
is what something like yeah, that. Yeah, basically
strategy.
I like it because I mean, this is kind of in the middle of nowhere. It seems like it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. I mean, I'm sure there's cell service, but like I don't think it's going to be like everyone's working from home. I think it's like disconnect, so it's got to be PTO. It can't be like I'm gonna work from the sauna at the Running Man festival.
No, because there won't be any work. Like some vacations, no. you can
we'll
swing
be, we'll
it.
Be getting content is what we'd be doing. So
yeah, you're goddamn
I think
right.
You got to go and bring the drone. We will need the footage. Ooh. That'll be helpful.
That's true.
Because I mean, they said they're gonna have videographers there too. Like, and they'll have a bunch of stuff. But like, man, if we could capture that beer mile right away, throw it up on the YouTube.
True.
Views,
I need
baby.
To learn how to fly an FPV drone. Those things are fucking tight.
I know. Well, the battery won't last for a whole beer mile. That's the bad thing.
That's true. They're all, God, they're so scary. They go so fast.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Well, sick. What?
Bet those FPV drones don't have collision detection.
No. The ones that we were using for Beer Mile World Classic, looking at the pictures of them, they look like kind of makeshift ish.
FPV drone. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, nah. There's no protections on those. Those things are built for speed and agility and nothing else, basically.
Going fast and turning left.
Yes. Yes. Well, shit, what else we got?
I think we hit everything on my list.
Oh, yeah. Wait, let me go back to my list from last time to see if we missed anything. Remember when we lost everything, Gotta.
Oh, don't remind me.
I don't think there's anything else. We probably covered it all. Everyone's been busy watching Worlds and not, I don't know. There's so many podcasts that were like daily Worlds updates, this, that, the other thing, live show Worlds. It's like, there were too many people doing that. It's like too much noise. There's no point in us really doing that, like joining in on that. Everyone was Sidious Mag, Let's Run.
We
like,
can't be those
people
guys
doing that. No, we're track tangential now. We're not a track podcast. Yeah.
Speaking of not a track podcast, but also, not knowing anything about like really any other sports, I have a fantasy football league that I have to draft tonight. I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing, so I'll for all our listeners out there, I'll post my team and you can rate it next time.
Well, here's the strategy. The only time I ever did fantasy football, I did it with coworkers at Accenture my first year working, and I didn't go to the draft. So I got auto draft players and I won the league.
Oh my God. I think that just means your coworkers are fucking stupid.
Well, no, I mean, they were doing all of the stuff, like, you know, trades and this and that, yeah, and all, yeah, this, and they spent so much time on it. I literally auto drafted and won. So, I mean, I think that's,
did you
strategy.
Like, did you set your roster every week, or were you just like flying in the blind?
No, I did. Yes, I did do that. So once I auto drafted, I made sure to pick the roster each week. But like literally just based on like Googling, you know, like fantasy football, who would you play, this person or this person?
Oh, this person.
Yeah. So no, I maybe spent like, you know, 5 minutes a week on it and ended up getting the bag. So,
you know, what I need to do is get like ChatGPT to manage my team. That would be a dope little invention.
They need to hook it up to the live data. It's not, I mean, there are,
you definitely could
there. I mean, there are versions that are, or like, it, what is it like? Well, because the main thing that you can access for free is not hooked up to live data. But what is it? Like, you pay the subscription there's like a plugin that hooks it up to the live data, right?
Yeah, it's ChatGPT functions. So you can like have functions. Interpret, you know, random data and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm.
So
I'm sure it would do at least as good as I would do.
Oh, it would do way better than I'm probably just going to like auto draft, but like still be on the call, you know, and be like, oh, yeah, I think so and so looks good.
Cause there kind of is like roughly a clear like hierarchy on kind of the way to, you know, each year.
Sort of.
I mean, you're kind of like, okay, like this person is probably the best at this position, so go for this person. I don't know. Like, but that's what makes it more fun. Maybe you throw in some, you know, off the cuff things. You just got to have like your wild card or two that you're like, okay, this is not as highly rated person, so like most people won't pick them, but I just got to bank on this person delivering. Cause I think that's how, like, I won is I, one of the people I auto drafted was like not a favorite going into the season, but I think it was like a year where like, can't even remember, did like Gronkowski get hurt mid-year or something? So there was some scenario where basically the person I auto drafted ended up being the highest point scorer for that position for fantasy for the year, but like it was not expected at all. So I had like a cash cow basically from one person. I don't remember the details. This was too long ago, but
doing like prep, like looking at this shit, I was also thinking like how miserable this would be to like if you had a fantasy track and field, like a fantasy diamond league, that would be so miserable to like actually draft and everything. Like because guaranteed people like aren't gonna race certain races or like pull out because of injury, and I was like, man, this is why we can't have nice things, because we don't have a league.
Yeah, it would be near impossible. I mean, yeah, you just got to bet on a race the day before. That's like the only way to even do it is to, you know.
I can't believe we couldn't bet.
Apparently there were
in Illinois. Book.
Yeah, apparently it was on FanDuel, just not DraftKings. Yeah. So we messed up.
Oh, gotta wait. Oh my God.
Yeah,
that's a bummer.
Did not do enough due diligence. I didn't look hard enough.
Bummer. Yeah. Maybe next year or the year after that. Or the
next year for
that.
The Olympics, let's do a YOLO degenerate live betting podcast.
Yeah, maybe like a couple $100 YOLO. Yeah.
We'll use business funds for the pool.
Is that allowed? I feel like that's allowed. Didn't like the owner
yeah,
of.
I mean, you can do. Yeah, you can do whatever you
didn't
want.
Like the owner of it. Didn't the owner of FedEx go to Vegas and play blackjack with like their last remaining?
Yeah, that's like a famous story.
Yeah,
and then they won. Yeah, or like MicroStrategy just buying Bitcoin with all their money.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I've often thought about that. Like, okay, we got now not as much in the business checking account,
bro,
because
we
blew it all. But
to fund the documentary, can we just go to Vegas?
I mean, well, what's the highest chance of? Would it be better just throw all that money on Bitcoin, throw all that money on, like, you could pick something that's like a higher odd than Vegas, you know?
Well, I mean, like 50-50 in general, you know, like it's all right.
Yeah, it's just a matter of how quickly does it play out. But Because like you, yeah. I mean, realistically, sure, we could throw that, the checking account money, say you throw it on Bitcoin and it's like a bull year over the next 6 months and it goes up like 3x or 4x. It's like, oh, okay, just funded the documentary.
Yeah, yeah. Or we could option trade on Robinhood. I don't know.
Or do that. That'd be more near term. Yeah.
Drain our account to zero.
Well, I've always wanted to do buy put options on something and then try to release a fake scandal about that company just long enough to get people to start selling and then get my bag and get out before people realize. Like that would probably take a lot, but you know, I don't know, file like a bogus lawsuit against a company for something, like, you know, when like Chipotle, the stock tanked because of the E. coli or whatever cases.
Yeah. Just release another one of those.
It was real at the one store, but then there were multiple times where people like made false claims on whatever website it was. Mm-hmm. And so the stock, like every time someone made a claim, they're like, oh my God, it's another store. And people would start selling the stock. It's like, this is so dumb. So you could totally do something like that. Like, I don't know, like, sexual assault accusation. I mean, maybe that's a little too far. Sexual assault accusations like on a CEO, or
it's like a reverse pump and dump.
Yeah. Don't pump and dump. Buy puts and just just talk shit about them and then get out. that's the move. That's the move.
Oh man, yeah. I like it.
Huh? I mean, I always thought we, instead of Beer Mile Media, we should just be called Beer Mile. Well, so Beer Mile Media is the media arm, but just kind of like how Westfly was saying, you know, there's Westfly Athletics, Westfly Hedge Fund, Westfly Real Estate. Like, I think that's what we need. We need Beer Mile Hedge Fund. And then that's what Beer Mile Capital, baby. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Beer Mile Capital is already up and running. So
That's true.
We should do a podcast about that.
Pivot. We're pivoting. We're pivoting. We just day trade our Beer Mile business account until we either get down to zero and close the doors, or we get rich and then we'd never do the Beer Mile podcast again because we're making more money doing options.
We day trade in every trade we make, we have to slam a beer.
Man. Okay.
So by market close, you're just like hammered and making bad decisions or good decisions. I don't know. Maybe the juices are flowing.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're going to have to yellow the money. I mean, we'll see what this Kickstarter starts for the Beer Mile documentary, but we might not have a choice but to yellow the money to get there.
I feel like if we do yellow the money in any fashion, we should definitely put our degenerate gambling or whatever on the patron Discord, because I feel like that would be pretty funny to see.
For sure. Well, sick. I think that probably does it for the pod. Any Ben words Dozer. Of wisdom?
Oh man, I don't know, dude. Just go out, run. Hopefully you're listening to this while you're running. Do as many drugs as your heart desires, and fuck the Patriots, I guess. I don't know.
That's great advice. Yeah. let's see. I don't have anything either. Ditto what Adam said. I'm having a brain fart at the moment.
Retweet, heart, get ratioed.
Yeah. Review, rate, like, subscribe, download, all those things. And tune in late September when we release breaking the Beer Mile world record.
Hell yeah. Wink, wink.
Adam's winking his eyebrows. Someone whose name may or may not have been mentioned in this podcast episode. Beer Mile world record attempts. End of September, baby.
I mean, if you made it this far, you probably know, so.
Running Man, join us. Yeah. Okay. I think we're just going to call it there. That's good.
All right. Sick.